T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From ESPN.com, it is Royce Young. Good evening, Royce.
Good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. So, your first impression of the Cavs, one game or something a little bit more?
Well, I don't want to overreact or anything, but obviously the Cavs are winning the NBA title. I feel like that's where we're all at. Like, we're all trying to just kind of pump the brakes, try to add some perspective,
right,
and couch every comment we make while also acknowledging that the Cavs looked completely different. There was obviously a new energy, and honestly, I think they just looked better on the floor, just as a cohesive basketball team. I mean, you can take away all the kind of existential stuff about happiness and chemistry and all that stuff. I think they just make more sense now than they did. I think LeBron can play a little more in the role that he's illustrated that he's a lot more comfortable and a lot more dominant in, really just kind of being the unquestioned focal point of an offense. And I think what's obvious that with Cleveland is that, LeBron can play with anybody, and and you put players that can function around him and kind of do their job and play a role, and he's going to get the best out of most anybody. And, as good as the Cavs looked yesterday, their second best player isn't playing. And, when Kevin Love comes back and you add him into this mix, and Kevin Love's the type of player that I don't think is really, he's gone through the issues of trying to fit and understand role. I don't think he's going to have a hard time readjusting back with these new players. I mean, the Cavs, they've got some serious weapons now.
Royce, we'll get into those weapons, individually here in a second, but I guess overall, the number one thing that you need to have to even give yourself a chance is, like, you need to have an engaged LeBron James, right? I mean, he's got to be that leader that he wasn't for the month of January. He's got to be the best version of himself. And with these guys kind of inspiring him to some degree, making him feel young again, I think that's the number one component here.
Yeah, I think that's kind of an interesting way to think about it, right? I think it's a great point, is that the best trade the Cavs made is they traded for LeBron James again.
Absolutely.
Like, they got the best player in the world back. And, I understand people may take that, and they want to be, the people that are going to dog on LeBron are going to take that and use that to be critical and say that, well, he should have been a better leader. But look, these are people. These are real-life issues that they're dealing with. And I think for LeBron, I mean, he's been in the NBA a long time, and you can become somewhat disinterested, dispirited, and a little bit disgruntled in your job, and a lot of that can sometimes have to do with your colleagues and your coworkers. I think most people that work everyday life can probably go through those type of issues in an office place. So I don't think LeBron James is immune to that. And, it's kind of the mentality, the good to great mentality, is that you want everybody on the bus. You want the right group of people on the bus, and you want to be going to the right, all with the common goal to one place. And LeBron James is the guy driving that bus. So you got to have your bus driver happy. And I think that a lot of what the Cavs did had as much to do with that as it did anything else.
Talking with Royce Young, ESPN.com, NBA writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Royce Young. Chris Fedor in for Adam the Bull. Royce joins on the hotline. On the opposite end of that spectrum, I think sometimes you have teams that are in contention, Royce, and those teams have some issues, and they don't go out and address those issues at the trade deadline. Boston comes to mind. Team like Washington comes to mind. Maybe even Oklahoma City, because they lost their starting shooting guard to a season-ending injury. So is there any kind of negative effect with the Thunder of, oh, we didn't go out and make a move to re-energize us for the last half of this thing?
I think it's a fair way to think about it. I do think, the Cavs are a unique situation, because they clearly were in a different type of mindset than every other team, because they had a dysfunctional locker room.
Right.
And so that puts them kind of in their own category to their own. And really, honestly, as an NBA writer, and I'm Chris, you can probably sympathize with this, with people tweeting you and emailing you. I think we have to blame Kobe Altman for this, because he's going to mess this up for everybody. Fans love trades, and Kobe Altman just went out and traded half his roster. He just did what, like, every fan is always begging every NBA team to do at the trade deadline. So this guy's, if the Cavs turn this around and this works out great, that dude's going to have to pay us back for this. But anyway, that's another topic. But I think in this case, with a team like Oklahoma City, you compare it to the other teams around the league. Mm-hmm. San Antonio didn't do anything. Like you said, Boston didn't do anything. Toronto didn't do anything. Golden State, they're really just the trade market this year was in a weird, unique place that the asking price for a lot of these players was too high. And people are holding on to first round picks for dear life. They are trying to recalibrate and readjust from the summer of 2016 with the cap spike. And a lot of those contracts, either teams are trying to get them off their books or they're waiting for them to come off their books. And really, it just kind of cluttered the trade market in a way that contenders weren't really willing to step out and go out and make some sort of move. So, you know, whether or not, you know, team, I think, you know, some teams are going to pitch that as, well, we like our teams. We feel good about where we're at. We've worked hard for the chemistry we've got, and we're pressing on without it. But a team like Oklahoma City, you know, a lot of these groups have kind of looked at the buyout market, and I think maybe in a way that was a little too optimistic to think that they could get involved and that more players would be bought out than what has ended up on the buyout market.
Royce, so to go back to the trade just for a minute here, do you have a player that you think could make the biggest impact out of the four guys that have been acquired?
I mean, I think that – are you talking about the Cleveland players?
Yeah, like Rodney Hood, George Hill, Clarkson.
I think that, you know, probably Larry Nance is going to end up being the guy think that is going to have the most crunch time impact, just because I think that in terms of switchability, and really I think when we talk about the Cavs, I think we often talk about them in the context of what does this do with them and the Warriors? I see Larry Nance as a guy that is very playable in a series against the Warriors. You know, the way that the Thunder have kind of built themselves is with long, rangy, athletic young players that are very switch, you know, they can switch, they're versatile. Yep. And that to me is Larry Nance fits that profile. I think, you know, George Hill is a guy that I think can really stabilize them in a way because he's a pro's pro, he's a veteran, he's got a lot of experience. Rodney Hood clearly has a lot of talent, but there's some question marks kind of about, you know, his toughness and how in his experience in the postseason. And Jordan Clarkson is kind of a, you know, microwave guy. He's kind of hit or miss. I just think Larry Nance could end up being a guy that you see in a lot of closing lineups. And to me, he's, you know, watching him play over the years, he is a completely selfless team first guy. And I would imagine that LeBron James is going to really enjoy playing alongside him.
Talking with Royce Young, ESPN.com, NBA writer. Beyond the Cavs blowing up their roster at the trade deadline, which is rare, what was the biggest surprise for you this year, Royce?
Oh, man, that's at the trade deadline. Yeah. I mean, I guess it doesn't really count as trade deadline, but Blake Griffin getting moved was just, you know, complete stunner. You know, I think you could probably say that DeAndre Jordan not moving was pretty surprising. You know, obviously, you know, Cavs were quite involved in those talks, but, you know, with where the Clippers were at and kind of on the heels of moving Blake Griffin, it just made a lot of sense in the world to pull off that. And then, you know, really so many teams around the league, you've talked to executives, they all had their eyes on the Clippers. They were really curious about how they would approach it. And, you know, they moved Blake Griffin, they don't move DeAndre Jordan, and they extend Lou Williams. And so all of those things were kind of, I wouldn't call them head scratchers, they were just more surprising than anything else.
Okay, so the elephant in the room is that the Lakers were able to clear the cap space that they needed to for two max guys. Do you think the Lakers still have a shot at Paul George, or do you get the sense that he's so happy in OKC that their chances have increased even more?
I think they have a shot at him, no doubt about it, and they've always had a shot at him. I think that the Lakers cleared this cap space, right?
Right.
The Lakers could always clear this cap space.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have cleared it at the draft, or if LeBron James and Paul George got on the phone and they called up Magic Johnson, they said, "Hey, we're coming together." Magic Johnson would have been like, "Hey, somebody take Kyle Kuzma, somebody take Lonzo Ball. I don't care what you take, just I want this cap space." So, I mean, it's a little bit of a misnomer, I think, that the Lakers created this cap space and they kind of generated this conversation. And in my mind, especially from the Cavs perspective, people have said, "Oh man, can you believe that Cleveland helped clear the cap space out for the Lakers to potentially sign away LeBron James?" I look at it as the inverse. Did the Lakers just do the Cavs a huge favor to make it more enticing for LeBron to re-sign? I mean, LeBron's got a locker room he likes now. He's got a better chance to get back to the NBA Finals. So, you know, in terms of Paul George, I think it goes right hand-in-hand with LeBron. I don't see Paul George leaving to go to the Lakers by himself. I don't think he's going to join, as good as that Lakers young core is, I don't think he's going to join Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle. If Paul George is leaving the Thunder, he's going to join another star. He's going to go with somebody. And so if it's all connected, as so many things are in the NBA, back to LeBron. And if LeBron stays in Cleveland and Paul George surveys the NBA, you know, and his and what Paul George and everybody around him keeps repeating to me is his goal is to win and to win at the highest level. Where's he going to have a better chance to do that than with Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony and Steven Adams?
The Cavs are the favorites in the East now?
I think I'm going to have to go back and say they are. I mean, I think they always kind of were just because you have the best player in the world. I think it kind of just makes you a favorite. And there was always, even with as dysfunctional as they were, that they were going to sort it out just because it's LeBron. I mean, I think that the panic button was getting closer and closer to getting pressed for everybody. But I think that you got to put the Cavs. It is one game. I'm trying not to completely overreact because what if the Thunder just blow them out tomorrow night? But yeah. I think the Cavs were always the favorite. It's just maybe we were all a little bit more concerned about it than we have been in years past.
Counting every team, Eastern Conference, Western Conference, team that has the best shot to knock off the Warriors.
I think the team with the best shot is the Rockets. I think that they are constructed in a way. I think the Rockets are going to be very hit or miss. I think the Thunder really do. The Robinson injury really hurts the Thunder just because they were the team, I think, that could directly match up with the Warriors better than anybody else. You know, most teams have to build a scheme. They would have to come up with a plan. The Thunder could basically roll out five players and say, we can play you straight up. And I think that made them very unique to play against Golden State. But even without Robinson, I think the Thunder can – in a seven-game series, I think the Thunder would give them a push. The issue that so many teams are going to run into is, can you score with Golden State? And that's just the underrated thing about the Warriors, and it always has been, is that they can be the best defensive team in the world when they really want to be, and that's what separates them. But I think the reason the Rockets could give them an actual challenge is because I think the Rockets are the one team out there that could score with them in a seven-game series.
Rice, good stuff, man. See you soon.
All right, you bet. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.